You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Okay, so you say you don't have your Defender 15 in front of you.
I don't. Yeah, I can't find it. I think I did it on a notepad instead of Evernote and didn't save it. So I'm trash. But okay. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. I'm good.
All right. So here's how I think we should structure. We can go off my list if you want.
Okay.
Or do you want to just freestyle this?
Because I remember some of the stuff that was on my list, so I can freestyle some of the, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Since you have your list, do you want to just start with somebody who you know you want to talk about?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start with people that I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm
doing Definitive 15 songs.
Sure. And full disclosure, my list was probably like 30 or 35 songs because it was hard for me because 98 is such a definitive year for me. Some of the song, it was kind of like artists for me. It was more like a definitive 15 artists for 1998 or record labels for 1998, because the first artist I want to talk about is DMX. And I can't pick one song in 1998 for DMX because he has like five that were definitive to me.
I picked two.
Okay. So what two songs did you pick?
You got to start with Get At Me, Dog. If you're talking DMX in 98, the very first thing you're talking about is Get At Me, Dog, right?
This song, if you look back to 97, and I say the peak of Shiny Suit was probably Puff's Been Around the World video with Jennifer Lopez. Just like peak opulence. And you go from that to a black and white video shot at the Tunnel, which is like the grimiest, grittiest, dirtiest hip hop club in the history of the world. And there's a guy with goggles, overalls and Tim's, bald headed, barking at you, literally barking at you over this crazy. That beat is crazy. Like, I got to rap over that beat. And so like this was the complete antithesis of the Shiny Suit era. This song is why I feel like 1998 was the year of DMX, because not only did DMX run hip hop, like they had Woodstock the next year and DMX was one of the headliners. Like DMX transcended culture. Like I don't think this generation realizes how important and how heavy DMX had the streets on lock in 1998.
He had the streets on lock. He had the suburbs on lock. He sold a lot of records.
Yep.
And we should talk about real quick is the buildup, like the way that he was set up coming into Get At Me, Dog, right?
Sure.
So in the fall of 97, he has 4-3-2-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he's got sort of in the winter, early part of 2018, right? People are listening to 24 Hours Live.
Right.
And Money, Power, Respect.
Yep.
And he's like, he's the guy. Like people are talking, like it's like, oh, it's a DMX feature.
Yeah.
But Get At Me, Dog was, you know, it's a really interesting choice for a first single, right? Because there are bigger selling records that are on here, but he saves those for the end, really.
Yeah.
Like in terms of singles, the album kind of gets off to a bit of a slow burn, right? Like they're classics. But like the first two singles are, you know, Get At Me, Dog and Stop Being Greedy.
Oh, man. I put Stop Being Greedy on my Definitive 15 list just because the record is just, that record is nuts.
The beat is amazing.
Like that Diana Ross sample and like that and just really dark.
So dark.
Really dark lyrics from DMX. Really dark. But the song is nuts.
Yeah, I definitely mansplained the heck out of that song listening to it in the car with the first lady of Clock Radio Speakers. I was like, so you see what he's doing here? He's using different vocal inflections. And she's just like, uh-huh.
Yo, your wife loves you, man. It is clear as day. She loves doc_beats. She loves the underscore.
That's not a C. Yeah, so I Get At Me, Dog, I felt like just had to be on it. And really, like, that whole, like, Def Jam was, that wasn't quite Def Jam. No, Def Jam 2000 is what they did next year. But it was like that whole Def Jam aesthetic, right? They had this, they had Onyx, they had Def Squad. Like, they had these, like, boom, 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 you know, in the span of like a month or like 2 months or whatever. And it was the survival of the illest. And I wish I could find those bonus CDs somewhere.
Man.
I think I might have the DMX one somewhere, but I don't have the others.
They're on YouTube somewhere. Or not YouTube. They're in the street somewhere. I need the second disc that was on Hard Knock Life.
See, I didn't get the mine only had one disc.
Mine had two.
So listen, Apple Music, Spotify, why aren't you streaming these?
Yeah, you bugging.
Y'all it's all release stuff anyway, I think, right?
Yeah. For the most part, yep. I mean, even for example, like the Def Squad album, but like the Def Squad album doesn't have all the songs on it. Like a third of the album is missing.
Oh, you mean the Survival of the Illest that like previews their album?
No. The actual Def Squad album.
Yeah, because I went to listen to it and Countdown wasn't on it. And I was like, how are you going to miss Countdown?
You're going to miss Countdown.
That's the best record on the album.
Yep.
Because that I got the sample is, woof.
I forgot what Countdown sounded like. I just know that was the single. That and Full Cooperation.
Yeah, Full Cooperation hasn't aged well.
Yeah, they tried. A lot of those late 90s Eric Sermon beats didn't age well. It's one of the reasons why that Redman album wasn't really hitting like that.
There's a lot of Rockwilder on that too, you know.
That's right. But Rockwilder ghost produced for Eric Sermon, so there's that. What is Def Squad Countdown? Oh. Okay, yep. My bad.
Simple but very effective.
Yeah.
Because they had that. They had a whole like string of like, I guess what I would call collaboration, like sort of Def Squad type singles, right? Because there's that. And then there's, what's the one with Lady Luck on it?
Symphony 2000.
Thank you. Symphony 2000.
That record was stupid.
That beat is
great. I don't
know
if it aged well, but that record was hard. Another DMX record that I had on my list was How's It Going Down.
I like How's It Going Down. I think it's a classic record. I don't know if it's a definitive record for 98. There's a lot of records in 98, man.
Yeah, DMX can do no wrong for me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? DMX, if people ask, does your album have to be perfect to be classic? Is Dark and Hell is Hot is clear that answer is no.
I mean, so you were talking about it earlier tonight, right? Get Rich or Die Trying is not a perfect album.
It's not a perfect album, but it's a classic. Right. People, like, I think Illmatic was one of those records where people didn't know. But, like, you know, come on. One Time for Your Mind, it's a stinker. It is. But people would kind of use that record as an excuse. Oh, see, it's not classic because, you know, there's one misstep. But, like, the whole middle of, like, maybe, like, tracks 13 through, like, 16 or 15 through on his Dark and Hell is Hot are not good, but that album is clearly a classic.
Yeah, I skip around pretty heavily on that album, but it's a classic.
It's a classic
for me. The second DMX record that is in my definitive 15 is Rough Riders Anthem.
Clear, it has to be.
And it's not my favorite song from that album.
No,
but it is iconic.
It is iconic.
It launches Swiss Beats into a whole other stratosphere.
Yes.
Swiss has a ton of records in 98, but you know, we talked about it. We did talk about the Rough Rider retro, but you know, that DMX album is a lot of Dame Grease.
It's all Dame Grease.
Right.
Is Shock on there too?
You know what? I bet you, hold up. It's time for Doc Types on the Internet.
There we go. It's 9 o'clock Radio Speakers episode without it.
All right. PK.
PK. There we go. P Killer. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Cause PK and PK did most to Stop Being Greedy.
I need to wrap up with that too.
Yes, you do. Oh man, I forgot about Started Something.
Woo! Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh man,
Started Something. The Convos, the first Christian hip hop record I ever heard. But
that sample's a Bee Gees record.
Who?
The Convo contains a sample of Nights on Broadway by the Bee Gees.
Really?
Hmm.
I don't want to hear it. Hold on. Oh, just for the record, this episode is, look, it's 8:45. This episode is going to be really long.
We're going to be here all night.
Yep. What's it called? Nights on Broadway?
Nights on Broadway.
All right, let's see if we can find it.
These chords are kind of rough.
Yeah, shout out to Sandman. Definitely had a beat.
Blow it up this spot.
Oh no. No, I mean, this is from like 2000.
Yeah.
2000 might be, but like, you know, just Sandman produced Genesis Revelation. He's got some stuff, not on this album, but the, oh my God, he's got some stuff on the next album. And yeah, he had that sample back then. He was just, he's just ahead of his time. Just is what it is. I can't find that sample. I'm sure it's there, but whatever. Yeah, how's it going down?
Yeah, so Rough Riders Anthem.
Rough Riders Anthem.
It's the only Swiss record on this album, but yeah. It, you know, it, like, DMX was already super successful, but this, it, first of all, it was the last single from the album, right?
Yes.
I mean, it feels that way to me. Wikipedia says that Rough Riders Anthem was released as the third single, but that doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Thought How's It Going Down was in between.
Nah, I think How's It Going Down was last.
Huh. I feel like Rough Riders Anthem had like a long life.
It did.
Yeah. I feel like that song really like, but amazingly, that song barely cracked the top 100.
What, How's It Going Down?
Yeah.
It was a Rap City
No, no, I'm sorry. Rough Riders Anthem.
Didn't crack the top 100?
It barely did.
What?
Barely.
Are you sure?
How's It Going Down did better.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Yep.
I mean, we could talk about the Rough Riders Anthem remix.
You know, I wanted to include something on the Professional album, from the Professional album.
You know, I have something in my honorable mentions. Should I mention it now or should we wait?
Man, we're all over the place. Go ahead and just mention it now.
The fabulous Mace record, That's the Way.
Absolutely not. We're not. I'm done with this episode. We're done. That's the song you pick? You might as well pick the Made Men record. Yo.
What am I supposed to pick off that?
Hey, Made Men, Tommy's theme. That's 98 too.
We'll talk about Belly, I'm sure, at some point. Okay. That Professional album was mad all right.
It was all right.
I have Fantastic Four on my honorable mentions as well.
Yeah, one of the records on my honorable mention was Fantastic Four. It was also John Blaze, and it was also Watch for the Hook. And then you could even throw Hook. Reservoir Dogs and Blackout in there. What?
Yo, I forgot about Watch for the Hook.
Let me say something.
Hold on. Are you sure Watch for the Hook is 98?
Yeah. Because Cool Breeze came out. Cool Breeze album came out in 98.
Oh, man. I thought that was 99. Oh, no.
I don't think. Hold on. Let's find out.
It's 99.
It's 99? Okay.
Because I was like, oh, I need to. I was about to modify my. Listen, Watch for the Hook is incredible.
The beat is incredible.
And Andre is incredible.
I don't even know if Andre's. Hold on.
It's a definitive 15 for 98, but let's talk about this record from 99.
Yep, pretty much. Mentally slay all grand dragons. Rap sharp as number twos and I'm stabbing. Somebody let me hold a number two pencil because they test. Somebody let me hold a number two pencil because they test. I fly through the night. He rapped 8 bars, man. Nah.
And they're dope.
Man. Nah.
Don't do this.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Anybody else raps that verse, nobody's going crazy over it. He gets the Andre 3000 pass on that record.
No.
No.
I'm just giving you a no. Okay.
All right. That's fine. Like Posse Cuts.
Yeah, right.
Because I think two people who had incredible years, actually, Fantastic Four encompasses 1998 because all four of those MCs had great 1998s. So Cameron had a great 98 because that's horse and carriage, right?
Yeah.
Nori had an amazing 98 because that's N.O.R.E. and Super Thug, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yep.
You've got Cannabis, who had a good 98.
He had an interesting 98.
He was set up to have an amazing 98. Like, he was right there. And that's then, right. Yeah. And then Big Pun, who had a great 98.
Yeah.
Because Pun had Still Not a Player.
Yeah.
Capital Punishment. Yeah.
Okay. So, since you started with DMX.
Okay.
I want to talk about Noriega.
Let's talk N.O.R.E.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, some of our listeners only know Nori from Drink Champs. And maybe nothing.
Listen, Noriega has two songs in his catalog called N.O.R.E. and they're both dope.
What's the other N.O.R.E. song?
It's with Swiss and it's great.
Is that from God's Favorite?
Yeah. Oh, that God's Favorite album is surprisingly dope.
Hold on.
Hold on.
That almost sounds like a Swiss Beat ad-lib.
Shut up. Where's N.O.R.E.? You sure? There's no song called N.O.R.E. on the God's Favorite album.
Hold up.
He got some joints on here, though.
What is it called then? Is it, am I thinking of another record? That record's incredible.
Yeah, he got some joints. He got Not Mean You Heard. He got Head Bussin'. I forgot about the Not Mean You Heard remix with Cassidy. Oof.
So I don't know what album this is on. I'm listening to this to you in chat, but this is the record I'm talking about.
All right. Hold on.
It's a terrible, terrible image of Nori that they put.
Oh, my God. All right. Hold on.
This beat is so hard.
All right. Hold up. Okay.
Yeah, nigga.
That is a bad picture. Yo, we about to get banned.
Hey, yo, I'm hot, nigga.
Yo, that beat is ridiculous.
Hold up. I can totally see Swiss Beats hitting the keyboard. I totally hear that.
Listen, no slander for me because that beat is incredible. So hard.
All right, you got it.
Oh, my God.
You got it.
So Noriega in 98.
Yes. Sorry.
I have two records from Noriega on my definitive 15.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
The first one I have on here is Banned from TV.
Without question.
Because you talked about Posse Cuts, and this was a great – you didn't even know you were doing a segue.
Yeah.
Right? This is
– Yeah.
This is
– You're right.
Nori, Pon, Cam, Jadakiss, Nature, and that's it, right? I get everybody?
I think so. Man, who had the best
Styles,
first?
Styles.
Who?
Styles P is on this too.
Oh, okay. Who had the best verse? It comes down to Nature and Pun, right?
I like Nature, which is incredible. That lineup in 98, right? Classic Swiss Beats beat.
Yeah. Listen, Nature wasn't nothing to shake a stick at in 1998. Like, we can't 6-1
way above 70, you know? I mean, there's a lot of quotable lines from that.
Yeah. I agree.
But that beat is also just like, it is Swiss perfection.
Yeah. Another thing, classic, another Lil Wayne killed that beat too.
Yeah.
Wayne murdered that on No Ceilings.
I forgot about that. But yeah, Banned from TV. Like, that's like New York. That's like, this was like, okay, here are the next people up in New York rap in 98.
Yeah.
You know, Nature was supposed to get that big lift from the Firm album.
Yep. And then it bombed.
Which kind of bombed.
Yep.
And you know, AZ, because AZ puts an album out in 98 that sounds a lot like the Firm album.
Pieces of a Man?
Yeah.
That album's not good.
It's not good. And, you know.
It got some joints, though.
I mean, Nature's album didn't even come out till 2000, though, right? Which was amazing.
Yeah, they messed that up.
Yeah, because it's for All Seasons, right?
Yep.
But at least that record has Ultimate High.
That song did not age well.
What?
Yeah. Nah.
That is a beautiful ski beat.
I'm gonna go Man's World before Ultimate High.
No. Ultimate High. Oh, it's an incredible record.
Yeah.
Anyway, like if I, you know, it's amazing that like out of all those people, like Nature's probably, I mean, he arguably, I mean, maybe it's Pun, but like he is one of the best verses on there, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But Banned from TV is just, it's everything that is audacious. It's like, like when I see that Source cover, I just hear Banned from TV.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's no Silk the Shocker. You mentioned Silk the Shocker on Banned from TV.
I was just about to say that.
The other record that is that Source cover is, of course, Horse and Carriage Remix.
Oh, classic.
Is that on your list?
It's on my honorable. It was honorable mention.
That's a terrible song, but
it's peak 1998.
Right. Like, it's such a heat check.
Yeah, it's a heat. Go ahead and explain that. Explain that.
It's such a heat check, right? It's like, here are all these artists. They've had a lot of success. I mean, you got Wyclef coming through singing the, you don't know what you're going to. It's like, no. Stop it. The Night Court theme song. They're in all white. Cameron is doing, he's not even hand rapping, he's hand ad-libbing. There's just a lot of finger pointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know who was watching TV or who came home at like 3 a.m, turned the TV on, and like a rerun of Night Court was on and was like, yo.
Who produced that? I'm curious.
That's a good question. Look that.
I like how my computer knows what I really wanted was the instrumental.
Do you have the instrumental?
I probably do, actually.
Hold on. Let me hold up.
You don't need the instrumental.
Oh, I do.
I think you just want to put out a 1998 mixtape. I think that could be the move for you.
Listen, Snooze Button 5 is going to be what I want to rap over.
Why can't I find who produced this?
That's trash.
Hold on. I mean, maybe it was.
Oh, here it is. Trackmasters.
They did the original. They did the remix too?
No, I'm sorry. Digger. Digger.
Digger.
Yeah, Digger did the remix. Oh. It exists, but it's on vinyl.
So Cam did, he had 357, Horse and Carriage, and the remix, and Bam from TV.
And Pull It.
And Pull It.
Pull It was on my honorable mentions.
Mm. But back to Noriega.
Yeah. Sorry.
Bam from TV. I just love that record. The other record I want to talk about is Super Thug. It's definitive.
It's not just definitive for 1998, but it's low key definitive for hip hop.
It was like a portal from the future.
Yeah.
Nothing sounded like Super Thug in 1998.
Nothing. Nothing.
And you go back and listen to it now and it sounds like, it basically was like, oh, y'all want to hear what radio is going to sound like in 2000?
Yep.
That's a super rapper thing to say, but that's how Nori should have opened it up. But no,
in
like
Philippines.
You found Manuel Noriega. Yeah. The song is completely nonsensical, but the beat is, and it's one of those beats where you heard it and you were just like, oh, like sometimes that those moments happen in music, right? Super Thug is one of those moments. Yeah. I just love, like, the drums on that song are just like, it's like, they're like cannon shots. They're ridiculously loud. They're great. Everything about that beat is just fantastic. Pharrell, of course, doesn't even get like he's not even like on the hook or officially, but you know, he's there.
Yeah.
And I always forget because it was really like to really give 98 credit, it was really like the 1-2 punch for the Neptunes. There was Looking at Me, which was from the 97 album Harlem World for Mace, but was a single in the spring of 98 and was a real slow burn and was really successful, right? We sort of discount Looking at Me. But the combo of Looking at Me and Super Thug, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we have to pay attention to the Neptunes.
With good reason.
But the other thing about Super Thug is you have to remember what Noriega did before that, right? CNN, right? Yeah. Super grimy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the report. Yeah, War Report.
Right, War Report. Super Thug, those are 2 years apart.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound possible.
Now, remember, around this time is when Capone was in jail.
And when Capone come home, we going to triple. Yeah.
Yeah. So he missed most of the War Report and then all of the NORE stuff.
Right.
So this. Yeah. Yeah.
The list of cameos from the Horse and Carriage video is great. Not the remix, but the original. Jim Jones, Styles P, Wyclef, Noriega, Funk Flex, Charlie Baltimore, DJ Clue, Cormega, and Cannabis.
Can we just erase all memory of Wyclef Jean?
Listen, I woke up this is how people should know that I, you know, something was not right in my system because we couldn't record Clock Radio Speakers last night. So I woke up this morning. You know what song was in my head?
What's that?
Guantanamera.
Oh boy.
Listen, that beat's kind of hard.
Nah.
Guantanamera's a dope track.
Nah.
That album is surprisingly good.
Nah.
You can hear our Fuji's retrospective on clockradiospeakers.com if you want to hear Armand disagree with me for 2 hours.
No. We agreed about most of that we slandered in unison. We disagree often with our slander and our agreements, but that was one instance where our slander came together as one. We were a united front on the Fuji's retro.
We were a united front.
Crazy.
Okay, So you got Noriega. We talked Noriega. We talked DMX.
Yep.
So you're next up. Who is an artist that you feel we have to talk about? Because I have some, but I want to make sure we give you some time.
I'm gonna wait on the South.
Okay.
I want to talk about. I mean, we didn't really talk about Outkast, but we kind of have to.
I mean, you just said you want to wait on the South.
Well, okay, my bad. Because when I said the South, I meant like No Limit in Cash Money. Let's see, who can we talk about?
Well, we could talk about one of our favorite records,
which is,
if this is not on your Definitive 15, we could just stop the show right now.
Okay,
it's the Been Around the World remix.
I didn't realize they came out in 98 until I started doing research for this show. I always assumed that with 97. But yes, greatest remix of all time.
Of all time.
Fight me.
I love that record.
I'm talking to all. I know you do. I'm telling.
My entire high school decided that we needed to try to dress like how they dress in that record. In that video.
I was going to say, so I don't want to say it on the show.
Go ahead, say it.
No.
You trying to bring it back?
No. Relax.
Okay.
Yes. Great classic. Greatest remix of all time. Yeah. Just a beautiful, beautiful song.
So why is it on your why is it on your Definitive 15?
Because I think for a lot of people, 1998 was like the beginning of the end of the shiny suit era.
Yeah.
It had a quick rise and a quick fall.
Yes.
But even in that fall, they still had records. Puff was still not stopping. And that is a testament to his inability to stop. Because, I mean, what else can I say about that record? Like, it's right before everything basically goes to crap. Because, you know, Mace leaves like the next year, I think. That song. Yes. 100% on my list.
So I picked it for my Definitive 15 because, like, really, if you're thinking about like how we got into 98, right? The fact that like in spring of 98, you could come home after school, watch Rap City, and you're getting the Been Around the World remix, possibly right next to Get At Me Dog.
Yeah. Right?
Just to show the kind of like the diversity of what was going on there. And really, it's like we talk about heat checks. This song is a heat check.
Yeah.
Right? Puff is just like, yeah, I can do it. I didn't realize Nasheem Myrick produce this beat.
Yeah.
That does not sound like a Nasheem Myrick at all. But no, Been Around the World remix, to me, it's one of my favorite Bad Boy songs.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it.
I think it's one of the reasons that like pissed me off about the tour. Because we were gonna get to enjoy the Been Around the World remix in person.
We can hold our arms out and spin around. No, that's not what we're doing.
That's hilarious. No, we're not doing that.
Okay. All right. I got some more if you want me to keep going.
I've got one that I kind of want to get out of the way.
Let's talk about it.
But I think these two artists, to me, this is definitive because this is the song that got me into rappity rap.
Mm. Okay.
I know it came out officially in 99, but I know I heard it in 98.
What song is that?
I know it was out. Bad Meets Evil, Scary Movies.
Oh. This is not on my Definitive 15.
I didn't think it would be.
That's a night. Was that on the Slim Shady EP?
Yeah, I think so. It came out as a vinyl, but it was on. It was circulating like it was online in 98. I know it was. It was around. Because I think by the time it came out officially, like it was one of those things where it had been circulating for so long. You know, a record would circulate on the underground for a year and then it'd finally come out with like a CD single or vinyl or whatever.
I mean, the vinyl for which song is it?
This is Scary Movies.
The vinyl for Scary Movies isn't even released until fall of 99.
Yeah. I know it came out in 98.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
Okay.
But we talk about Eminem and just how incredible he is. I think if we go consistent across the board, I think Royce regularly watches him on their collabs. And I think Royce is a better rapper technically than M, because even Royce is 99, 2000, 2001 Royce is a different person. Like he's not even human. Like in this record, who produced this beat?
For what?
Scary Movies.
Hold
on.
I think it's Alchemist.
No, it's
Is it Red Spider?
It's Alchemist. Is it Reef or well, one of them's Alchemist and one of them's Reef.
Okay.
Either one of those. Okay, either one of those. Beat is crazy. Just rapidly, like, this is the song that, like, this is another thing that I said on the first episode, but we didn't say it on this one. I think the underground became more pronounced in 1998. So I feel like the underground always existed, clearly, but with Bad Boy becoming as shiny as it was, like, the underground intentionally separated itself. The backpackers intentionally separated themselves. When you think of backpackers, what's the first hip hop thing to come to mind pre 1998?
I wouldn't even. I'm Boot Camp Cloak.
Yes, exactly. But even they got regular play on MTV. Like, it wasn't this thing that was completely separated. It still existed amongst, like, all the other hip hop. In 1998, Raucous, and I mean, we probably can go ahead and just talk about Black Star now, but like Raucous and just the underground in general was like just completely separated itself, and it was just raps and bars and 88 keys and like just stuff. And I think the flag bearers for notable underground, I'll say notable because I won't say commercial underground, but notable underground had to be Black Star. Now, I had Respiration on my definitive 15.
So Respiration was a single really in 99.
Oh, the album came out in 99.
I hear you. So for me, like, that is a like March 1999 record.
Okay.
But that's totally fine. I have Definition in my definitive 15.
I hate Definition.
You're crazy. Definition and Redefinition are insane.
Redefinition is fire. Definition is terrible.
Ugh. But it's, I mean, to me, it's definitive for everything that you pointed out.
Sure.
It is the spark that lights Raucous Records.
Sure. I won't disagree with you there. I don't like the song, but it is what it is.
There are so many things that happen because of the success of Definition and Black Star.
Yes.
I mean, never mind. Everybody associated with Raucous Records in the way that you kind of think about Raucous Records, right? But also, like, Common, yes. Like Respiration, and then 1999, right? That, like, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, right, Common.
Yeah.
1999.
Sound bombing too. Oh my god.
Still getting mine. Yeah.
Oh.
Right. We did a Raucous Records retrospective.
We sure did.
Where I talked a lot about Faramanche because that's what I do.
Yep.
No, I mean, Definition is, you know, so much in 98 really is like, okay, here's what Puff did in 97. Everyone's trying to figure out what their response was, right? DMX's was to be grimy, right? You had all these, you know, you had like what all these like new New York guys were trying to do, which is they were, you know, like Cam, Nori, like guys who've been kind of around, but who were going to put out their first single. You had, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the South's sort of them sort of emerging as this whole other sound. Cause like MTV is looking for MTV and BET are looking for alternatives too, right? But then yes. You had Black Star, which is very notably like we're not that.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Arms crossed, you know, we're going to do things, you know, it's like you said, it was sort of like, the new kind of backpacker.
Yeah.
Right. And so Definition just had to be on it for me. As a song, I almost certainly like Respiration more.
Yeah.
But I think Definition is so essential.
I won't argue that.
Okay.
I won't argue that. All right. I gave you two. So where are you at?
I still got quite a few.
Right, go ahead.
I gotta go with, so speaking of backpack rap or underground or artists who are really concerned, they really made a lot of intros and interludes where they talked about real hip hop.
Okay.
I had to have a record from Gangstar. Because Moment of Truth to me was listen, I went back and listened to Moment of Truth and it broke my heart this weekend.
Why did it break your heart?
Because there are a lot of skippable songs on Moment of Truth. But there are some incredible songs.
Absolutely.
On Moment of Truth. Absolutely. And for a 15-year-old doc, there is no record that I listened to more in 1998 that really kind of like represents real hippity hoppity 1998 than Above the Clouds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it wasn't a single, right? They had You Know My Steez. They had Royalty. They had The Militia.
Royalty's 99.
What am I thinking of? What's the Casey and JoJo record?
Royalty's 99. Royalty was a single from Full Clip.
No, that's a different one. Wait, what's the...
No, my bad. Royalty. Oh, Royalty's on Moment of Truth. Really?
Yeah, they had another record.
Discipline.
Thank you.
My bad.
I was like, whoa. Hey, oh.
They had Work.
Oh, man. Don't get me started on Work. One of my favorite Primo beats ever.
The remix with Big L. Even You Know My Steez, I prefer the locks on that. I don't know if you've heard the locks on You Know My Steez.
I haven't. Yeah, You Know My Steez, I mean, at the time, right? Like, I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, gangster. Like, I was sucked in. Royalty, you know, that song actually works surprisingly well.
Royalty's dope.
But Above the Clouds, it is a top tier Primo beat. It is a top tier total heat check Inspect a Deck verse. Before the end of his prime. Like, that is prime Inspect a Deck.
So I agree. So the only verse of his that's better than this one is Triumph, right?
I think Triumph is better known. I don't know if the Triumph verse is better than this.
It's more well known, but that's a good verse.
It is. Above the Clouds is just
Above the Clouds is amazing.
I there was a lot of hand wrapping in the car as I listened to that driving around with Marissa this weekend. I warned her. I was like, listen, I'm gonna rap every single word from the song. Just wanna warn you. Yeah. No, Above the Clouds, you know, not a single, but like when you think about, because you know, I don't. This might be the only Wu-Tang related appearance in the Defender 15. Wu-Tang put out a lot of music in 98.
They did.
I have a whole bunch in my honorable mentions. Not a whole bunch. I have a handful of my honorable mentions. They put out a whole lot where it was like, well, they put out some stuff that was great, right? They put out some, you know, as we covered in depth on our unbelievable 3-part, like 6 hours total Wu-Tang retrospective. I realized that I didn't make that sound as appealing as I should have. No, it's actually really great. But they put out a ton of music, and Inspect a Deck coming off of 97, like, you just thought he could do anything.
Yeah, they put out his album a year too late.
Yeah. And so he actually has a couple records in 98. A couple Which appearances, are? I should say. Which Pete are? Rock, Pete Rock, True Master.
Yeah.
And Big Pun, Tres Leches.
Yes.
You forgot about True Master, didn't you?
I definitely did. I've been on a random Pete Rock kick the last few weeks.
Like, listen.
I didn't know he did a remix to Street Dreams.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Look, this is an honorable mention, but I'm just going to jump to it since we said Pete Rock. The Game. Oh, my God. That beat.
Oh. Wait. What record?
The Game.
Oh.
I think you should play it real quick, because I don't know how many people have heard that record.
All right, hold on. Let me tell you, that was a beat in my early rappity rap days that I tried to write to.
Mm.
That's one of those beats that like kind of like will intimidate you. Like, this isn't good enough. Like, this, whatever you just wrote, it's not good enough. I can kill this man.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Let me write.
I need to put more weird sound effects in my beats.
I also, yeah, you definitely need to like, you need to get your Dilla on. The way the drums come in, they don't come in right on the one.
Right.
They like trickle in.
Yeah.
And it's really dope.
There's some records on that Pete Rock album. Half Man, Half Amazing.
Yes.
Strange Fruit. Yeah, there's some records there.
All right. We were talking about Wu-Tang in 98?
Yeah, so like, you know, I felt like the combination of Gangstar, Inspector Deck, the fact that I love that record, the fact that it's a classic record, that's why it was my definitive 15.
If we're going to, I agree with you. Ironically, my introduction to the Moment of Truth album was JFK to LAX, which is a dope beat, but the song's kind of whatever. But yeah, Above the Clouds is, yeah, for sure, definitive. I won't argue that.
My problem with JFK to LAX now is every time I hear that beat, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, relax.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I that's how it works.
Oh, that was another record. Yeah, let me make sure okay. That was another one that was on my definitive. We got to talk about T2000 if we're talking Wu-Tang in 98.
One of my near misses.
Because the highs on that album are really high.
Yeah, they are. I went back and listened to it. So, yes, there's a Donald Trump skit, but there's a lot of dumb skits, including Chris Rock talking about dolphins. But
hold on, I gotta play the Donald Trump. It's so bad.
It's so hold on. New York rappers really thought that Donald Trump was, you know,
like something. Like, oh yeah, hip hop has to own its relationship with Donald Trump pre 2015. Yeah, 15, 14. Yeah. Where is it? Okay, here it is. Right after Play for Keeps. Play for Keeps.
Spazola. Yeah.
Hey, Method Man, this is Donald Trump, and I'm in Palm Beach, and we're all waiting for your album. Let's get going, man. Everybody's waiting for this album.
End of...
Okay. Okay, telling a rapper, let's get going, is hilarious. Let's get going. Shut up.
The best part about that is he got paid for that.
100%.
Hip-hop was unbelievable, man. The amount of money flowing around hip-hop was just unbelievable.
Yep.
I don't even know. Yeah. So is this on your definitive 15? You have something for Method Man?
Near one record's a near miss.
Judgment Day is a near miss for me.
Mm.
I think that's a super underrated record.
I agree with that.
It was risky.
It was very risky.
It's so upbeat for Method Man.
Not really.
Up tempo.
I feel like Meth is one of those rappers in his prime who could do anything. So that's not really that. He doesn't sound awkward on that. It's awkward for like Wu-Tang fans because RZA had conditioned us to like one like range of tempo.
MC conditioner? So, sorry.
Black shampoo? Like, yes, but nah, he doesn't sound awkward on that at all. Him rapping about, you know, the apocalypse and the end times is,
Busta.
Because that's 100% on my definitive 15.
We're going to talk about Busta Rhymes in a bit here. On my honorable, I have a bunch of honorable mentions from Method Man.
Give them to me.
Sweet Love.
That's your joint. Wu-Tang Romance.
Dangerous Grounds.
Dangerous Grounds is phenomenal.
That's got to be a perfect record to rap over. I feel I want to rap over that and I can't. Let's, rap
yeah snooze yeah snooze button 5 is going to be a bunch of songs that nobody's going to know, but I'm going to be totally happy with it,
and then I'm going to mix them and I'm going to rap. No, I'm just kidding. Armand gets the mix back. Doc, I don't know about this second part. Perfect World. Suspect Chin Music. I love that record.
Suspect Chin Music is hard.
Spazola, Play for Keeps. There's just records all over the place.
Breakups to Makeups is a good song.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that I would go to, but it's a good song for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I'll give Meth credit for it. Grand Finale.
Listen, man. That song, that's like peak, because at the time, I'm a stand for No Limit and Def Jam.
Oh, that is peak Def Jam.
And that is peak. The Belly soundtrack is peak Def Jam. That song is peak Def Jam.
I need to look at the Belly soundtrack.
I don't feel pain through love. Give us one shot at life. Come on. Oh my, it's so bad. So bad.
You get Devil's Pie like over a year before the album comes out.
Yep.
Oh man, there's some struggle records on this. I forgot about the Militia remix with WC and Rakim.
Yep.
Oh, Windpipe. Man, I tried to talk myself into Windpipe.
You really did.
Of course I did.
I'm just going to play it just because I want to.
Please don't. Just stop it right there. That's all you need to know.
Nope. You know where I'm playing it to.
But they really let it play out.
Here we go.
Yo, walk a Jeep on the street of the sun.
We're gonna talk about Bobby Digital.
Hold on. Belly soundtrack, Crew Love. It's crazy.
Story to tell.
Oh my god. Isn't Pregame on this too?
No.
Pregame's on the Belly soundtrack. Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's further down.
Yeah, Sauce Money and Jay-Z.
I wish Pregame wasn't less than 2 minutes.
What's that?
It's less than 2 minutes long. It's criminal.
Okay. That record is hard. Yeah, I think the full version is on Sauce Money's album, I want to say.
Mm.
And then Tommy's theme. Like, we can slander Benzino until the cows come home, but
yeah, Tommy's theme is dope.
Tommy's theme was super dope. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a struggle section there. You know, there's Jerome singing "I Never Dreamed You Leaving Summer." That was a single.
Was that a single?
Am I crazy? No, wait, what?
So why did he hit somebody in mid doo-doo? Yo.
How are you? There are a lot of sound effects going on.
Yo, you're a grown man, like you're a grown adult. There are no children around and you're making sound effects with your mouth.
Oh, Moving Out was a single, wasn't it?
Yes.
That didn't work out. Yeah. Top Shotter, that's oh man.
That's a DMX heat check.
Yep.
Here comes the boom. Boom, it's bouncing. Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. So bad.
Anyway, where were we? We were talking about Method Man. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I know you want to give him credit. I know you want to give anything on that Bobby Digital album credit, but NYC Everything is also dope.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. What do we got next for defense? I still have a bunch left.
Let's talk. Should I get all my ones out of the way that I know aren't on your list?
Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. I'm going to go with Corrupt, We Can Freak It.
Ooh.
Yeah, because listen,
honorable mention.
This is post West Coast, because you talked about a particular, when did Retaliation, Revenge and Get Back come out?
March 97. I know this because I bought the album.
I did too.
And I really thought it was going to be Dog Food too.
I did too.
It was not. In California was dope.
In California was terrible.
What?
That song is bad.
No.
I had that second Mac 10 album with Backyard Boogie. And yeah, no, I never liked Only in California. I'm good. No, I'm going We Can Freak It / Seawalk, like post Death Row West Coast, because I'm also going with DJ Quick So Many Ways, just because I'm biased and DJ Quick is the greatest rapper, producer rapper ever. Fight me. I'm going with that. And then I'm also going with a song that I know you're not gonna have on your list, and that is E-40's Hope I Don't Go Back. Yes.
Who?
No, we're not doing that.
We are.
We're not doing that with E-40.
I vaguely recall E-40 putting an album out in 98.
Element of Surprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we'll go that. Oh, snap. Hold up. Crucial Conflict came out in 98?
Which one? That's 96.
Yeah, Good Side, Bad Side. I don't know what that is. Okay, never mind.
I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. I'm still going to wait on my Master P, No Limit Cash Money thing. But I want to talk about your man, Busta Rhymes.
Big Bang Busta Rhymes.
Because Everybody Rise 100% is on my list.
No.
Yes.
I mean, it's a dope song, but it's not
one of the greatest intros ever. If we're going definitive, what are you doing on that?
So from Busta, it's got to be Give Me Some More.
Yeah.
Oh, Give Me Some More is Busta's best single?
That's Busta's best single?
I'm thinking it might be.
No.
It might be my favorite Busta single.
It might be underrated, because when you think of Busta Rhymes singles, you don't go Give Me Some More. Now,
right.
And we talked about this. We had a really dope Busta Rhymes retro. I wonder, are our listeners tired of us talking about older episodes? Because we do have like a remnant of listeners who they don't have to, like, we don't have to tell them to go back and listen because they, like, they're on it. They know more about our show than we do.
I mean, yes, parts of this episode are, it's almost like we're doing an infomercial for Clock Radio Speakers.
Yeah. Or maybe they just understand that, like, new people are going to listen to the show every week. But yeah, we did a really dope Busta retrospective, I think, this time last year, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, top of 2017. And give me some more. In 1998, is unlike anything we had ever heard. It's another
example, was incredible.
It's another example of like what Get At Me Dog was for DMX. It was just like, wait, what?
At least for me, When Disaster Strikes was an underwhelming album with some classic singles. Right. But I was underwhelmed by that. So Give Me Some More really brought me back with Busta.
Listen, man. Is this the which one is the album with the Lenny Kravitz song?
I don't know, but this is the album with Is They Wildin' With Us, Is They Rowdy With Us.
Listen, in 1998, that song was crazy.
I love that song in 98.
That song was crazy in 98. Yo, Busta Rhymes and Mystical.
See, here that song was good. That song was great in 98 for me because I'm living in Oklahoma. Not a lot like for the rap fans who were there, they were listening to Southern hip hop.
Yeah.
So that record that brought us together.
Yeah.
Of all the records to bring together, that brought us together.
Yep.
But no, Give Me Some More. It's like, yeah, it was, I don't know. Cause like, I felt like, but sometimes Busta, you know, can come off as gimmicky.
Yes.
Right. But Give Me Some More was like, to me, that was where it's like, you know what? Like he could just keep doing it.
Yep.
And in a year where, and you know, his album has a bunch of Swiss records and, you know, he's got all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But like, Give Me Some More is just, man, I love that record. I couldn't leave it off. Had to have Busta on there.
Yeah. I won't disagree with that.
Okay.